Well, welcome back, guys. I'm Kirk Moose, joined by Vince, and we are back for another Uncomfortable. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that definitely makes almost everybody uncomfortable, and that is the topic of grief. Vince, you have gone through a season to where you have been tested and tried in multiple ways to where it's like you've been pushed into the fire. The pressure's been put in there, almost like coal being transformed into a diamond. So I think right now you're in this place to where it's almost like there's something germinating like a seed inside of you.
I guess you could put it that way. Yeah. Well, just to give context to what you're referring to, it all started in 2020. You know, if we're going to go, we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. In a galaxy far, far away, a long, long time ago.
Hey,
right?
There you go.
So, excuse me. In February of 2020, my oldest nephew from my biological sister was murdered. He was killed by, we don't have the full confirmation, but we, from everything we know, he was killed by members of a Luciferian cult that he used to participate with before he gave his life back to the Lord. And that would be the reason why they decided to do that, because he turned his back on them and went back to Jesus. So I guess technically that makes him a martyr, but he was killed then. In 21, we lost a spiritual son and to COVID, and my sister-in-law, my wife's sister. In 22, after her was my wife's uncle. In 22, we lost two nephews, 19 and 17, who were children of the sister who passed away in 21. After the second nephew in December of that year, we lost her aunt. And then in November of 23, we lost my mother-in-law. So we've lost a lot of people in a very short amount of time. So, yeah, I mean, germinating, force-fed, whatever you want to put that.
I remember, Vince, you know, as you were walking through that season, and even how there's moments where the enemy tries to throw little darts at you, even now, mm-hmm. over the last several months, but how the Lord has brought you through this season, almost like Moses being put into the Nile River in the basket. You know, it's like he has put you in the basket. He's kept you away from the crocodiles. He's kept you away from the torrential currents. And they ended up putting you into the reeds to where you've been found by one so that you can deliver a message, right? But instead of it being of deliverance, you know, from the physical, you know, chains of slavery, it's from the spiritual chains of grief that bind people and hold them in captivity, because you know very well that if you don't fight this thing onward, onslaughting it, almost like you're going to battle, that grief can be something that can overwhelm you. It can overcome you. It can paralyze you, and it can cause you to go into a almost comatose state and begin to ignore all the things that can keep you in the place that you're supposed to be, keep you in the hands of your creator, because if you're not careful, you can become consumed in the torrent of the situation.
No, that's correct. As I've been studying out, I was asked about a month ago, I was asked by one of, I think it was my assistant, had mentioned something about it. And he was like, I think you should do a class on grief or getting through grief. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm not really going to deal with that. And so I'm sitting and I'm like, I'm not ready to deal with that. I'm not ready to deal with that. And so I'm sitting in a church Saturday night, and it was just heavy on me. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. I know I need to do this, but I don't want to do this.
Right.
So two different brothers in the Lord come up to me at two different points in the night and gave me, they shared this word of wisdom or encouragement, whatever you want to call it, with me. You know, like I really feel like you need to talk about grief for people. And I'm like, I'm gonna need you to go to the other side of the room and pray, because I don't think you heard from Jesus.
Oh,
but
man.
in fact they had, and it was confirmation. And I talked about it again yesterday with a friend, and I didn't want to touch it yet. I didn't want to go into it yet, but you know, there was something that one of them said that really hit me, and it was this. He said, sometimes talking about it, talking through it, or sharing how you've gotten through it is one of the very things that'll bring healing to you.
Absolutely.
And we as humans, we are not meant to contain everything inside of us. Now, obviously, we should not, we shouldn't just let everything out all the time, no matter where we are. There's a time and a place to do it, and do it the right way, and do it around people you trust. Like, I mean, as we've gone through several of them, you know, Kirk, we have been like, hey, another one's gone. So, and I know it gets kind of morbid after a while when you start talking, you're like, oh, well, another one's gone. So just pray for us. We're traveling again. We're going to another funeral. So it gets kind of interesting. There's a lot of things that you just start going through, and you're like, well, here we go again. Here we go again. So I do want to address a couple things that I've been mulling over and thinking about. And this is before we talk about anything specifically from the word, which I think plays importantly into this. I want to say this. Grief is a, man, it can be such an overwhelming and overpowering emotion, but because it's not alone, it's accompanied mm-hmm. with other emotions. There's sadness and in some cases, excuse me, I'm so sorry. There's sadness, there's loneliness, there's so many other things and emotions that are involved in that.
Do you think, Vince, that fear begins to feed in at some point as you're dealing with all of those emotions, dealing with grief?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're dealing with multiple losses in a row. And especially when they're at different ages, and they're ages that are some in your age group,
right,
some that are older than you. So, I mean, older than you, it's kind of like you expect those who are older that eventually they will pass on. But when you have teenagers that are passing, and you have people that are younger than you that should be outliving you that are passing away, it carries a different weight to it. You know, when you have someone pass away that you that slept in your bed as a baby, that you know, that you changed diapers or you took them to school in the morning, you sang songs with them, you know, you played hide and seek in the house with them. It's
kind of takes on a different weight, doesn't it?
It does. It carries a way different weight.
I think I'd almost go as far as saying it's like you have two different sets of grandparents, right? One of them you're very close to because, you know, like in my situation, one of my grandparents passed away when I was very young, my grandfather. And then my grandmother lived with us for the longest time when we were kids. So she became, instead of just like an extended family, almost like part of the immediate family for the most part. Well, then we turned around and I had another set of grandparents on my father's side, and they lived in North Carolina. So they're like 6 to 8 hours away, and we didn't see them a lot. So when you don't see someone a whole lot, it's a little bit different than when you have someone that you are on a day-to-day basis with doing life all the time. Because then there's that real strong heart connection.
Yeah, and that does account for some of it. So there's a general kind of grief and mourning that people have when there's someone that might be in their family or someone they might know, and they have a tie or relationship to them, but they're not mm-hmm. super close.
Right.
And then a lot of times what you're really dealing with is if there's someone in your family that was close to them, then what you're really doing is you're kind of grieving for that person that lost somebody, or you're feeling that sense and you're kind of helping them to carry that load. So, and you're saddened for the person who lost someone close. But then you also, but when it's someone who's close to you, of course you feel it in a whole different way. And there is no, for each individual cause, there's no one that can understand what it's like to lose a spouse other than someone who's lost their spouse. There's no one that understands what it's like to lose a child except for someone who's lost a child. There's no one that knows what it's like to lose a parent unless it's someone that's lost a parent. So in saying this stuff, I'm not trying to minimize anything that any specific person goes through because of the simple fact that each one carries a different weight. Yep. It carries a different set of experiences or new normal, so to speak, that they have to go through. When you lose a parent, it's more of a, wow, I have, you know, you think about things and people are talking about stuff and it clicks in your head at these random moments. Oh, I don't have a mom anymore. I don't have a dad anymore. When it's a spouse, it's, you know, that best friend, that lover, that, you know, everybody that has that one that they marry and they're like, we have the great love story. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
We've fought for our love. We've fought for our marriage. We've been together 20 or 30 years or something like that. However long it is, it doesn't have to be that long, but you know, you've put in the work and you guys are each other's person. And that one passes. That's a massive blow to your system. And not only in the fact that it's, I mean, that's been your best friend through everything. That's been your person that you go to sleep with every night, you wake up to every morning. It's, you know, the Bible says it, that the two leave their parents and join together and become one. So it's like a half of you is gone.
That's right.
Especially the longer you're together, because the longer you're together, the more that you literally share. And to the point that you don't even realize that you share these things. And they wonder how married couples are able a lot of times to complete each other's sentences. That's because it's almost like they have a whole different brain function. You know right. what I mean?
There's a bonding between the two. It's right. symbiotic.
Right. It really is. And it allows you to, when you're together, it allows you to take in more information. It allows you to process more stuff. It allows you to overcome and deal with more things if you're working together. And you can do it in such a beautiful way, the way God set it up. So then to not have that, it carries a different weight than the other ones. And then for those who lose a child, it's a totally different aspect too, because it's like, well, you're not just mourning the loss of the child. You're also mourning the loss of the expected future, the potential that was there that no longer gets to happen. It's, so you're mourning more than just the individual. You're also mourning that, not that that's what you're openly saying, it just is part of what happens.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so grief is such a weighty thing. And, you know, Ecclesiastes in the Bible even refers to it. In chapter 3, it says there's a time, you know, everybody, I mean, there's an old song from the 70s, I think, that even sings about it. You know, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, and so on and so forth, right? So a time to tear apart, a time to sew together, different things. I mean, I'm just touching on it. I'm not reading the entire thing. But if you want to read it, it's for yourself, whoever's out there. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it reads from verses, basically 1 opens it up, and it goes to about verse 8, I believe. So that's kind of what, and that just talks about, it's a time to this and a time to that. And so there is a time of mourning. There's a time of grieving. There's a time of weeping even. But there's even sadness and all these things that you go through and walk through. But something really important that we have to learn is the fact that, so grief, if we don't properly manage our way through it, and I know you're like, well, how do you manage grief? Well, we'll kind of dig into that a little bit. If you don't properly manage it, it can take you to a very, very, very dark place.
Absolutely.
It's the place that nobody likes to venture to, but and nobody talks about a whole lot, but everybody's aware of it. It can take you to that place where you become completely entangled with depression and despair. And you're like, it's very dark. There's nobody around you, feels like you're all alone, and there's no point to you being here anymore. And that's a very dark place to be. And here's the thing that I get from Ecclesiastes, and then again, even from the story of Job in the Bible, is this. Grief is something that you're meant to go through, to walk through. Mm-hmm. Keyword is through. You're not meant to camp out there and stay there. If you stay there, it will take you down, right? We're not meant to camp out there or stay there for extended periods of time. We're meant to just walk through it. Now, based on the experiences I personally have had and talking with others who obviously have been through losses in their life, it seems like there's about a... Now, it can last longer for some, and I get it, but it seems like there's about a one-year period from the time of that loss, if it's a one-loss situation, obviously. Right. And it doesn't mean that if you have multiple losses stacked up behind each other, it takes 5 years to get over. It's not a cumulative in that way. It's about a year, maybe a little more if you have multiple losses at one time of a season, right? And so during that time, you're kind of going through, you have your initial shock, like they died, the world stops for you. It literally just, it's like you see people driving around, you see people going about their day, and you're like, why are these people doing this? Don't they know? Don't they understand what just happened? Right. Why are they going about their life like nothing's changed? Because your world has stopped. Your world has come to a halt. And then you have to go through the process of beginning to walk through the next phase, which is preparing for the funeral or the memorial or whatever that is. You know, and that time is there's some sadness in there, but there's also some really great things that happen in there. Because in there is where you get together with people and you start talking about the good times, the good memories. And in those moments, those are the things where you need to attempt, and I say that word very strongly, attempt, because not everybody is in their right mind at that moment. And my family and I have called it death brain, where you're not really in your proper mind. Is you got to attempt to try to remember some of those good stories, because that's what makes up their life. And that's how you honor and remember those people, not by staying in that place of loss, but honoring them by talking about them and remembering the good stuff, and cry a little, laugh a little, and keep going, and do your best to honor them by living and living well. Don't survive, but live.
I think, you know, Vince, a lot of times that's why, especially in our faith, that many people do celebrations of life versus a funeral.
That's true.
And if you think about it, it's not that the people that have the loss are not grieving. They are grieving. They feel the loss.
Oh, absolutely.
However, they're excited that their loved one is not suffering anymore. They're excited that they're in the arms of Christ, that they're now with their Father. And they're celebrating that the life, the legacy that they've left behind, and rejoicing in the Lord in the midst of the grief. Now, if we're definitely able to do that, it helps to move us beyond just the standard grieving process. Now, it doesn't stop the grieving, but it does help, you know, because if we just gave straight into grief, straight into heartache, and just never remembered the pillars that they've built over their lifetime, never remembered all the good times, then we're giving complete over to sadness, fear, heartache, and we allow anxiety and depression to have a root if we're not careful. And one of the things that we know is God gives us a spirit of peace. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear. but of love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. And because of that, if we lean on Christ, if we lean on God, He will lift us up from the shadows. It doesn't mean we don't grieve. It doesn't mean that we don't go through heartache. But it means that we have to battle our own emotions, battle the self, you know, sabotaging possible actions that some of us may have, but intentionally go forward, remember what our loved ones have done, rejoice in the, you know, the good times, and then ask Holy Spirit to walk us through the grieving process so that we don't stay there.
Yeah. I mean, it's also important to know that part too, because especially as believers, we have to be really careful with that, because sometimes grief can drive you to start thinking some crazy ways, and
absolutely,
you get so upset that you start going, well, why did God do this to me? And you start becoming, honestly, if you let it go down the road too far, you can become very self-righteous. Be like, I didn't do anything wrong, and yet God took this person from me. God let this happen to me. And you're like, wait a minute, hold on. I mean, yes, that stuff did happen, mm-hmm. and you are grieving the loss of that person, and that's a horrible thing. Nobody's taking that away.
That's right.
But God didn't force things to happen to you. God didn't do this to you. And He wants you to be able to reach out to Him and love and feel the love that He has for you and help you through what's going on.
I think a lot of times we forget that we have to cast our anxieties on Him because He cares for us, and that we forget that He tells us in Revelations that in the end, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, which means people have to be crying for Him to wipe the tears away. So it's not that He's causing you to have tears, but He acknowledges that when we're in this life, there's moments of pain, heart, and suffering, but He desires to wipe the tears away from our eyes because that's not what He desires for us. But He knows that in this life, that's one of the things that we will have.
Well, I mean, if you look at Job, the story of Job, or for those who are new to the word, it looks like it's spelling of job. It's just pronounced
Job. Oh, it sure does,
man. I didn't know that. I thought it was Job. I was like, oh, cool, Job 427. I was like, that's cool. But, you know, that's that Cajun part of me that I didn't know words like that. So, but he experienced great loss. He lost, what, 7, 8 kids?
Oh, he lost.
All of a sudden?
He lost everything. The only thing that he didn't lose was his wife.
Family lost his fortune, lost his kids, lost everything.
But even his wife seemed like she became against him. Even though he didn't lose her.
She's just like, look, curse God and die.
Yeah.
I mean, so listen, that's the thing too. When you're going through a grieving process, his friends that were surrounding him were like, you did something wrong. You were wrong. And so he did at some point kind of become like self-righteous, right? And in there, it shows that he's having this conversation with God himself. And God's like, wait, hold up. Let me put this in perspective for you. Were you around here when I made the stars, when I made the universe, when I set up the pillars of the earth and how everything works? So he had to put him back into perspective because he became self-righteous. And at that point, he had to, not only was Job dealing with the loss, but then he had to come to a place of repentance and walking in humility. And then he had to go deliver judgment to those very friends that had turned against him, basically. So in addition to that, when you're going through it, you want to have people around you that are going to lift you up, that are going to encourage you.
Absolutely. Look,
they might not know what you're going through, but they don't have to be there for you. They don't have to be like, listen, I'm praying for you and I'm here. Like, if you just want to go get a cup of coffee and talk about the weather or basketball, whatever, I'm here. You know what I mean? And to those who out there who have not experienced that, but you're walking alongside people or you have friends or family that are going through that, and you're like, I don't know what to do. First of all, look, don't condemn yourself if the first words out of your mouth are, hey, are you okay? How are you doing? Because I promise you, even going through what we're going through, I had a friend after about our fourth person that passed away, because I think we're at 9, maybe 10 now. I walked up to them and I said, So, how you doing? And I was like, I'm sorry. That was so stupid. I know you're not okay. So, preface it. Go into the contact. Listen, I know you're not okay, but inside of that, how are you doing today? How are you doing
There
in
you
this
go.
moment? How are you handling this moment right now? How can I be there for you? I mean, you don't necessarily have to ask all those questions. You don't necessarily have to go into that. You know how to talk to your friend. You might have to preface that one part and say, listen, from here on out, if I'm asking you if you're okay or are you okay, I'm not negating the fact of what's happened in your life. I'm just wanting to see where you are in the moment, where you are in this. Are you having a good moment? Are you having a rough moment? Do I need to sit
Yep.
with you? Do we need to go for some coffee? What do we need to do? Do we need to tell jokes, go to a goofy movie, whatever? So just be there for that person. Pray for them, uplift them, encourage them, tell the stupid jokes that you always told with them. If they need a moment, give them the moment. But then as soon as that moment, don't relent on them. Doesn't mean you have to show up every day, but just at regular intervals, hey, let's go. Let's go go for a drive. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Hey, why don't we go head to the store together? And then let them talk. If they open up and talk, just let them talk. If you got memories of that person that they're talking about too, share those memories. They'd love to hear those. So you can be there for someone, even if you don't understand. You just got to understand that first of all, you're going to say stupid stuff that you're like, oh, that was so stupid. Why did I say that? So, and just know it and just look at it and be like, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did that. You know what I mean? It's okay. You're going to blunder through it if you haven't been through it because you don't know how to handle it.
That's
You don't
right.
know what's going on in that person. So the fact that you're there means a lot.
Well, Vince, what are some of the things that you have found that have given you strength in this season or in these seasons that you've walked through?
One of the things was after my older nephew, the one who was 19 had passed away. I was struggling really bad. I remember I'd be in my living room sometimes. I'd wake up early in the morning before anybody else was up by a couple of hours. And that's when I did all my crying and praying and all because I felt like I had to be strong for the rest of the family. Not that they didn't see me cry at all. I had no problems crying in front of them, but the real hard stuff that probably would have thrown them for a loop. That's when I did all that because they needed me, but I still needed to get it out. And sometimes you can't just fall apart. You have people relying on you, so you have to find a group of people that support you. Like I had you, Kirk, for some of this. I had some other friends that encouraged me and prayed for me and stood with me. But after the my nephew. Sorry about that sidebar. I had to put that in there. After my nephew, I felt so empty. I remember crying to the point I had no tears. I was just dry heaving. And I was like, I remember reading, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm like, yeah, right. How does that apply here? There's no joy in this. And I remember the Lord saying something to me. He said this. He said, I'm going to show you through this season what it means to actually walk in the joy of the Lord. And I was like, all right, I'm down. Let's see what this looks like. And so he began to show me. I remember doing my best to get as close to him as I could. And I'd cry out to him all the time, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to handle this. And I remember finding myself when it seems like it didn't make any sense why I was having a genuine smile on my face or actually enjoying my day. And even if I started to feel guilty about enjoying my day, I shouldn't feel this way. I should feel guilty. I should feel bad. I shouldn't be having a good day. It was that way of God just reminding me, listen, this is the joy of the Lord. It's going to give you the strength to make it through the day. It's this peace and this ability to smile and not just smile, and to be able to actually come up for air in the middle of this oppressive feeling that presses down on your chest, and for a moment feel like it gets pushed away and you can breathe and it's relaxing and it's, you can actually laugh and you can enjoy your life for a moment. And I mean, that's one of the things that God did for me. The other thing that I did is I made sure not to completely section myself off. I wanted to, as most of us men like to do. We like to try to just take it on ourselves. But I immediately understood and recognized the importance of going and talking to someone that was outside of my circle. So I did counseling for several weeks. My wife did, my son, right. My youngest son did, I think even my daughter did. So we all did it for a short amount of time, you know. And I don't see a problem with that. There's nothing ungodly about it. Now we found, you know, Christian counselors who would let us to, and it wasn't like they were trying to change us. They just pretty much, they just listened. Right. They offered a listening ear and some encouragement and even some things to kind of help walk us through the process. And if you're dealing with anger, do this. If you're dealing with this, do this. These help mitigate those feelings, right? They never said deny them. They just gave us tools to walk through them in that moment and help us understand that you're having those feelings because you're dealing with an overwhelming loss. And it's okay. Just stop, take a beat, take a deep breath, and just acknowledge in that moment. Hey, acknowledge it. I'm not okay right now. I'm angry, or I'm sad, or I'm this. It doesn't mean you stay there. You just acknowledge it for what it truly is.
Well, you know, Vince,
feel the feeling and move on.
I think one of the things you're talking about right now, it goes right back to what you were talking about earlier about not hanging around people that are in the middle of the same junk that you are. You know, the analogy is like this. You got three friends and yourself, and you're all stuck in a pit. And you got another friend that's standing outside the pit. Do you go to the three friends that are right next to you to try to get you out of this 10-foot deep pit? Or do you go to the friend that's outside of it to try to pull you out?
Right.
I mean, the reality is if they're stuck in the same junk as you are, they're not going to do anything but pull you back down or knock you down. But if you have someone that's out of the situation and they can have an objective viewpoint, they can help pull you up out of that situation, lift right. you up out of your circumstances, and help give you a new perspective. So what you're talking about now is you went to someone, knowing you, I know that they were faith-based, and they helped encourage you from an objective perspective. They've either been there or they've had certain situations that give them insight into how to deal with your particular situation. And they helped right. to pull and lift you up so that you didn't get stuck and, you know, swirling around in almost like an endless chaos.
Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, it was the friendships too. So the Bible also says in the New Testament, I can't remember, I can't think of where it's at in the moment, but it also says that one of our responsibilities as believers is to carry each other's burdens.
Absolutely.
To rejoice with one another, to weep with one another, to carry each other's burdens through it. And so really what was happening is, believe it or not, the people who called themselves Christians and were believers that surrounded me through this season, oh my gosh, Kirk, if you wouldn't believe it, they're actually doing what the Bible says. Who knew? That's what we do as believers, right? So, no, they did. They carried me through it. They walked us through it, my family. We had people praying for us. I remember my sister one time said that she's like, Vince, I got this word from this lady in was it North Carolina or Nashville or something like that, that had sent it to her friend, that her friend sent it to her and then sent it to us. We're like, who is this lady? She's like, I don't know. She's part of some other prayer group. You got your name got on that list. So, you know, it's nothing wrong with asking people to pray for you. It's not a sign of weakness. In fact, it's a sign of being healthy.
Oh, absolutely. Of
saying, hey, listen, I recognize that I need help beyond what I'm capable of doing. Go back to your 10-foot hole analogy. If you're in a 10-foot hole all by yourself, or you got a group of people in there and you're trying to get them out, and nobody can see beyond the hole right now. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but like in the case with me and my family, we're all stuck in this 10-foot hole. And everybody is so beat down by it, especially after multiple ones, you need help from the outside. And in a case where the hole keeps getting deeper, you need more than one person.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So we engage, you know, there's that old adage, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, sometimes it takes a village to help raise up people from out of the pit.
Well, you know, which now I'm going to step on a couple of toes here, you know, make a couple of people uncomfortable. But this is another thing that tends to happen in the body of Christ, whether it be divorce, you know, someone has a panic, whatever it is, if someone's in ministry and they turn around and they, whatever the reason is, whether it was an adulterous affair, whether they did something, there's a thousand reasons why people get removed from ministry. But we have a culture of isolating them and putting them off as a big taboo instead of what Christ did is let's put them on the path of restoration. And the word tells us that we're supposed to put people on a path to get them restored. Even Paul in the book, in the book of Corinthians, he tells them to put this guy out of the church because he's into all these sexual sins. And finally, the guy straightens up. And then in the book of 2 Corinthians, he basically tells the church, guys, he repented. Let him be restored back into the church. You're now isolating him off and making him feel ashamed when he should be brought back into the fold. And unfortunately, many times, not always, but many times we have that same scenario in the church. And it could even be somebody's dealing with grief, just like we're talking about now, and they're having a really hard time because maybe they don't have a good set of friends coming around them and building them back up in their faith. They don't have leaders that can help pull them up out of the hole. And they need people, instead of isolating them off and saying, you just don't have strong enough faith, to come alongside them to help equip them, disciple them, and give them the strength that they need to move forward. Even Abraham, when he was leading Moses, when he was leading the Israelites out of the out of Egypt through the desert, I know you're laughing at me now, Vince. I can tell that this uncanny silence is Vince trying not to laugh at Kurt. Anyway, what's up is, you know, as Moses was holding his arms up when Egypt was coming after him, he had Aaron and Joshua that would hold up his arms in the midst of the battle. When he would get too weary and no one was helping him hold his arms up, they would start to lose the battle. But when his two buddies would come alongside him and lift his arms up, the battle would continue to be won. In the same way, God asks us as fellow believers to come alongside our companions, our brothers, our sisters, and encourage them in him so that they will not lose the battle, so that they'll be strengthened in the might of unity in faith, so that we can help encourage and restore each other, so that we can be strong and vigilant to serve our King.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you brought it up too with talking about some of the other things that people are needing sometimes to be healed and restored from. And I think that so sometimes we have to keep going through some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
And do certain jobs and responsibilities, even if we feel completely absent-minded. And it's tough to walk through that stuff.
It really is.
And still have to be able to. So there's a thing that comes, especially the more lost that you're feeling in an immediate time frame, where you get to the point where you do go back to what Solomon said, where he's like, everything is meaningless.
Yep.
And you feel like there nothing matters. It doesn't matter if I eat the way I should eat, if I spend money like it's going out of style. It doesn't matter if I even exist anymore. Nothing matters. And so that's kind of a normal thought process that your mind goes through. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you still have other people that are relying on you. And the truth of the matter is this. We have to do something that makes us extremely uncomfortable. If you have those people relying on you, you have to go to them and be like, hey, listen, I'm just letting you guys know I'm not okay.
That's right.
I'm not okay today. I might need to take the day off. I might need to take a week or two and just
you know,
not Vince, be near any of you.
There's some people out there that I'm sure that are saying, you know, I don't even know how that's biblical. How can you even say that? The word says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Absolutely. But it also says in Romans 8:18, the pain that you've been feeling cannot compare to the joy that's coming.
Right.
So if that's the case, then we have to have gone through some pain that really caused us some agony and turmoil inside, so that we can say it doesn't compare to the joy that God's going to bring us.
Well, I can promise you there's joy on the other side. The thing that you have to remember, if you're listening to this and you're going through it, you got to go to the other side, though.
That's right.
I know right now you're like, I don't see how anything good can come from here. I don't see how there's a better tomorrow. I don't see how, I just can't see it my way out of this. Just keep going. If you're a week into this, if you're a month or 2 months into this, that's okay. Just set a timetable for yourself.
That's right.
Give yourself to the 1 year mark at the 1 year anniversary of that person's death. Just in that time, be moving forward, processing emotions as they come, processing the moments as they come, the memories or whatever it may be. And at that 1 year mark, just stop and make an assessment. Take a deep breath. Breathe through that loss that day, because you're going to feel it at the 1 year mark. You're going to be like, wow, they've been gone a year, and it's going to hit you. And that's okay. But sometime within that next week after that 1 year mark, you have to say, the only way I can then honor these that have gone, that have passed, is to now begin to live. So you have to wake up those that next day after That's that right. 1 week and start to make a decision that says, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to pursue my dreams. I'm going to pursue the plans that I've made or that God has given me. I'm going to pursue the dreams God's given me, and I'm going to move forward from this point. I'm going to open myself up to love, to enjoy people again, and to all that. And there's nothing to feel guilty about for that, because I promise you, if that person was a believer and they're with the Lord, they're pulling for you. They're hoping that you will be able to get back to the place where you can actually enjoy life and be a part of life and doing the things that God wants you to do.
Absolutely.
They're now in on the full plan at this moment. They know. They're cheering for you. They're supporting you. They're worshiping the Lord. And yes, it hurts. I get it. But man, there's so much more, and we have so little time left. The older you are, the less time you have on the planet. That's not a doom and gloom. That's just real.
Absolutely, man.
You know what I mean? You're not going to live forever on the planet. No man ever has. Mm-hmm. So no human ever has. I should say it like that.
Right.
So it's not like there's going to be an end all be like, oh, I can just keep going forever. It doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. You have a limited time on the planet, and that's with right. every day that you live, there's one less day. And I know it seems morbid and bad, but it's not. So just make the most of what you got. Love the people that are there a little stronger. Hug them a little tighter. You know, make sure when you part ways with them that you tell them, hey, I love you. Tell them the things that you need to say that you might not have gotten to say with anyone else before. Learn lessons from it and grow and you know, and keep moving forward. And when you have those moments at a year and a half, 2 years, even 5-10 years later, and you're thinking about them, and all of a sudden you have a moment and you kind of break down and even cry a little bit, that's okay. Be in that moment, experience that feeling, and then move forward.
Absolutely.
And that's how you move through grief and not get stuck in it. You got to take the moment for what it is, and you got to move forward. God doesn't tell you to deny the fact that you have feelings. He just says, don't let them rule you.
That's right.
Right.
I think a lot of times we forget, Vince, that there's not a lot of difference between going through grief and someone really going through deliverance when it comes to forgiving those who have offended and wounded them. Because, and the reality is it's almost like an onion, that you get healed in one area, you start getting a little bit better, you get a little bit deeper with the Lord, and all of a sudden he's like, okay, okay, you're doing good there now. Okay, now let me show you something else. Let me peel back a layer here. And let me show you something you haven't handed over to me, Kirk. Let me show you something you haven't let go of yet, Vince, or John, or whoever, right? And so he'll show and reveal something else that you need to release and forgive, or you know, release that pain over to him, whichever the case may be. And then at that point, he can begin to walk you through a restoration process that you could never go through without complete surrender of that arena of your life.
Oh, yeah. If you let it, it will bring you closer to God. It really will.
Absolutely. It will,
because you then begin to actually see him as your source. Of your source of joy, your source of peace, your source of comfort. The one who really, you begin to really, really can identify it in your life.
Absolutely.
And although it's a horrible thing to go through, you really can come out of the whole situation better and stronger and able to handle more. And I know it sounds stupid to some people, but it's true. I promise you it's true. I had no idea that all of this stuff was going to happen in my life and it was going to happen as quickly as it did. I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody expects that to happen. Not like that. I mean, some people you expect that they're younger than you and they're going to help be there to bury you.
Yes, yeah.
Or be at your eulogy. You know what I mean? So there's things like that you just, I mean, you can't plan for. So, you know, Kirk, I will say this, as we're talking about it, I'm thinking about some things. Grief from the loss of a loved one is not the only time that people experience grief. So obviously death is one of them. Divorce is another. But here's one that, and people right. think about that with divorce. It's like, oh, it's like mourning a death. But here's a couple others that people don't tend to think about. Sometimes you go through, and not mm-hmm. to the same degree, but a little bit, sort of a mini version of that.
Right.
On certain expectations you've had for your life.
Mm.
Sometimes you mourn the loss of those expectations. Well, I expected to be this, or your parents expected you to do this.
Or I expected to be here through, by now, or whatever.
Exactly. And then even the loss of a dream, like I expected to be doing this and this was my dream and.
Or even relationships. Sometimes I expected my spouse or I expected my friend or I expected my parents mm-hmm. to do this, that, or the other thing.
Oh yeah.
Unmet expectations can be almost a loss as well if we're not careful.
And, and sometimes that's part of what you're grieving too when you do lose someone, is you're mourning the loss of the dream of the relationship that you guys had, the expectations of the relationship. There's so much more to it. It's so much more, like you said, it's an onion, it's multi-layered, and there's so Absolutely. Much more to it that you lose. And so going through that loss is, it can be heavy. But like we, you know, a lot of times we say at the end of most of our episodes, look, if you're dealing with loss, man, please reach out to us. If you don't have nobody else Absolutely. To reach out to, reach out to us. We'll be more than happy to talk with you, to pray with you. If you need a video call and you want to see my ugly mug, you're more than welcome to see my ugly mug. Kurt's got a better looking mug than I got, but.
Oh, my.
But what is it? I got a face made for radio.
Oh, my. I don't know. According to one of the guys at the gym the other day, he told me that when people see me, that they see my beard, that I'm hidden behind my beard. So who knows?
Well, you know, they do see your beard coming about a block away. So no, I'm just kidding. No. But no, for real. Look, if you guys need help, if you want somebody to talk to, we got you. We will be there to help you to walk through this. And man, look, it would be our honor and pleasure to do so. But, I know we do want to kind of dig into the aspect of sometimes that you have to minister going through it.
That's right.
And that's definitely a big deal too. And by minister, I mean, not that necessarily you have to get up and go handle running a church later, but that but that you might have to do the funeral, the eulogy, or handle a lot of the stuff as a minister would. So we do want to talk about that, and we probably, Kirk, I don't know where our timer is or where we're at, but I think we probably need to wrap this one up, and maybe on the next one we'll talk about that. We'll give them something to chew on.
Yeah, Vince, just like you said, you know, if anybody would like to have prayer, you know, regarding this, or if you feel like you really need to, you know, have a one-on-one conversation, we'd be more than happy to pray with you. You can reach out to us. Go to Moose Ministries, Inc. Mooseministries.org. And we can go to the contact page and you can reach us there, or you can go to, you can email us at info@mooseministries.org. And then we can get back to you as soon, you know, as quickly as we can. Please give us a little grace period to get to you, because we have quite a few things going on between work, family, and ministry. So we'll get back to you as quick as we can. But at the same time, we would love to hear from you if you have any kind of ideas that you would like us to talk about, different topics. If you have prayer requests, we'd love to pray with you. If you're a ministry and would like us to partner with you in prayer with your ministry, please let us know. We would love to pray over your ministry, over what you've got going on, any special projects. We'd like to partner with you in prayer. What'd you think, Vince?
Well, I think that you just about said it all, Kirk. I mean, this is not an easy subject to talk about. It wasn't for me to do so, but I know there's others out there that are hurting, and our responsibility as believers is to, I believe that part of it is, you know, Revelation 12:11 says we overcome by the word of the Lamb. Yep. And by the blood of the Lamb, excuse me, and the word of our testimony. And I think sometimes it's necessary, and it helps us when we hear that we're not alone. So if nothing else that this conversation has brought about tonight, look, know that you're not alone. Know that there's others out there.
That's right.
Just like you, that have been hurt by this, that have been touched by loss, and whether it be a sibling, a spouse, a parent, or a child, there are those of us out there that have been touched by it. And you're not by yourself. We're here. You know, if you don't feel comfortable talking to us, look, still reach out to us. I promise you, we can get you in contact with somebody who you'd feel comfortable talking to. So that's it. One way or another.
There you go. Well, as we part today, let's just say a quick prayer over any of those that are grieving. Father, Sounds good. Right now in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this time. We ask you, Father God, that anyone that's been fighting and battling grief, that you'll be with them, comfort them, and that you'll lift them up out of that pit. We also ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach them how to abide in your presence and not to focus on the grief, but instead focus on the one who gives relief from the grief. We thank you that as they're walking through this grieving process, that you are helping them to heal in their heart and in their emotions and in their mind. We ask you, Father God, that they won't forget those that they love, but instead that you'll help to soothe the pain and wipe away the tears. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, we thank you for joining us today, and we invite you back for the next episode. Y'all have a wonderful day.
See y'all later.